Ever felt that way? I've been in that position a few times where maybe work or life required me to be somewhere, but my heart was somewhere else. Usually that's how my business trips go. I want to be at home, but work requires me to be somebody else, somewhere else, and so I find myself torn. I have to provide for my family, but yet I want to be with my family. Most times when I'm gone on the weekend, whether family vacationing or ministering somewhere else away from here, I feel the same way. I miss being here. When I can't be here on a Sunday, I miss it. I feel like, you know, when you're a part of the family of God, and this may sound completely cheesy to you. If it is, just file it away. Someday maybe you'll feel the same way. If we're really a part of the family of God, then coming together in meetings like this is like getting together for a family dinner. I enjoy getting to see you. I enjoy fellowshipping with you. And so when I can't be here, when my schedule or life or taking some time away causes me not to be here with you, I miss it. I wish I were here. And I find myself rushing to get online to see what I missed. And I know some of you, I've heard about the text, hey, can somebody put their phone on speakerphone in the back? Can somebody Periscope today? Because you have a desire to be in two places at one time, but it's not physically possible. Well, Paul talked a little bit about this. If you want to go to the book of Philippians, Michael, I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 1, and let's start reading in verse 1. If you can go to the New Living Translation, that'd be great. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. It is written to all of God's people in Philippi who believe in Christ Jesus and to the elders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I always pray for you, and I make my requests with a heart full of joy. Because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. It is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a very special place in my heart. We have shared together the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out, defending the truth and telling others the good news. This is just such a heartwarming story, isn't it? Verse 8. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ. I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including all the soldiers and in the palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Wow. Some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know the Lord brought me here to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But whether or not their motives are pure, the fact remains that the message about Christ is being preached. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will all turn out for my deliverance. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I will always be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and that my life will always honor Christ whether I live or I die. For to me, living is for Christ, and dying is even better. These are really strong words that I'm not sure we as the 21st century church really identify with. I don't know that our society in general can identify with these type of words. To basically say that, listen, my whole purpose for living is Christ. When I breathe, it's for Christ. When I go about my daily life, whatever it is that I'm involved with, I'm doing that for Christ. There is nothing outside of my daily routine, nothing outside of what I do on an hour or minute by minute basis that isn't for Christ. But then he tops it all off, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even know that I can identify with the idea of every living moment of my life being for Christ. Even, I mean, you take it to the place that we just read through here in the first 20 verses where he says, I may be in prison, but every guard, every jailer, every prisoner knows that I'm here because of Christ. Everybody in this prison knows why these chains are around my ankles and my feet. Then he takes it to another level. He says, not only is living for Christ here on this earth, I'm alive for Christ, that's my only purpose. But if I were to die, that would be even better. Verse 22. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. Is that true of you tonight? If the Lord allows you to live, if he gives you another 20 years on this earth, if he was to give you another 100 years on this earth, would living mean bringing forth good fruit for Christ? Paul, there's such confidence that oozes from him. Such surety that just pours out of this writing, this ministry that's going to the church of Philippi. He says, listen, if I get to live, if they don't kill me in here, if I don't die from whatever disease I get from this nasty place, I can guarantee you that I'm going to continue on being fruitful for Christ every day that I live. What a testimony. He says, I really don't know which is better. Verse 23. I'm torn between two desires. Wow. I got to tell you. I read these verses a week or so ago, and I've been pondering them. The Lord brought them back to me tonight. I've been thinking about them over and over and over again. When I was reading in my daily devotional journal, I wrote right there, torn between two worlds. This is a place Paul lived in. He was literally, he was unsure of whether it was better for him to die or to stay on this earth. He had a desire to do both. And I thought about that in relation to all the things that modern medicine has afforded us. Bear with me here for a few minutes. I'm not preaching against modern medicine. I enjoy modern medicine. I've experienced it. I receive it. But they can make anything happen nowadays. They can extend life for years and years and years and years.
There's all, I mean, they can bring people back once they've died for a couple of minutes. And, you know, I mean, even God works miracles and brings people back from the dead. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about medical technology has brought us to the forefront. We've been reading in our house at bedtime a very spiritual book. It's very deep. Get ready. Little House on the Prairie. And I'm reminded that just a couple of generations ago, you got sick and you died. You got a fever and you didn't come back from it typically. We get a fever nowadays, we're like, he's got a fever, go to school. You know? At least where I grew up, that's the way it was. But you see what I'm saying? There's people now with stem cell research and all these technologies and things that are rapidly racing ahead and trying to extend life and creating pills and all these things to try to just inch people ahead, get them another 10 years, get them another 20 years.
The local 76 electrical union here is going bankrupt. It's no secret. They're going bankrupt. And the reason they're going bankrupt is because they promised big retirements pensions. They promised big pensions to electricians that retired 15, 20, 30 years ago. And when they set these pensions up, they're very generous. And most electrical unions have very generous pensions. The problem was they didn't plan on people living very long. And there's people still drawing pensions that are in their 90s. And they're running out of money. And it's modern technology, it's modern science, modern medicine is increased life. And there's people lining up in hospitals to try to figure out how to increase life. And we got Brother Paul here writing the church saying, you know, if it's up to me, I'd rather be on the other side. If it's up to me, I wouldn't be here anymore. If I got to be here, I'm going to be fruitful, but I'm torn. I don't know which is better. He said, sometimes I want to live. Sometimes I long to go and be with Christ. That would be far better for me. How many ways do we attempt on a daily basis to better our lives here on this earth? And he says, the best thing for me, what makes me better, is to go be with Jesus. Verse 24. He says, but it is better for you that I live. He understood he had a role that he was playing in the church at that time. You think about God could have snuffed him out. Could have taken him out. All the beatings and the imprisonment and all the things that he lived through and people that wanted him dead. And yet the Lord spared him, and he realized the Lord spared him for a specific purpose. He had a plan for his life. And even though it wasn't necessarily Paul's plan, and I don't want to be here, I understand that if I'm going to be here, number one, it's going to be for somebody's betterment, and I'm going to be fruitful for Christ. I wonder if we could make that determination for ourselves tonight. Father, you've placed me here. He could have taken me out a few times in my life. I pulled some stupid stunts. There have been a few times where I it was close. And I look back and I think, he spared me. I did some crazy stuff on motorcycles and quads as a teenager and young adult. And coming down out of crashes, and somehow I survived. He spared me. He had a purpose for me. I'm going to accept that, and I'm going to walk in it. I want to live fruitful. But I also want to find this place, this balance of realizing that, as the songwriter said, this world isn't my home. This is not my final destination. I didn't start here to finish here.
oh, my earthly life may finish here, and you may put me in a box and put me in the grave, but it's not finished here. And sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm not living for here. The scripture in the Gospels, Jesus said, store not up for yourselves treasures where moth and rust doth corrupt, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He was beginning to paint the picture that Paul's talking about here. Paul grabbed a hold of that. They took those words as reality. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Jesus, let me live a life that is fruitful for you here on this earth. But Father, don't let me fall in love, so in love with this earth, so in love with my life here on this earth, that I no longer look forward to the day I get to spend eternity with you. I pray, Father, give us revelation and give us understanding of what awaits for us with you in life, a life in eternity with you, Jesus. It pales in comparison to all the stuff that we live for and are told to live for here on this earth, Father. You, your home in glory, is our ultimate goal, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for giving yourself to